Chapter 10, Mina Harker's Journal, The Death of Count Dracula. 15 October. We left England today, traveling overland. I am not sleeping well, and the professor hypnotizes me between sunset and sunrise. 30 October. Arthur and my dear Jonathan will make their way to Castle Dracula by steamer. Dr. Seward and Arthur's friend will ride along the banks of the river. Professor Van Helsing and I will travel overland, the same way that Jonathan traveled in May. Jonathan was angry with the professor.
"Do you mean to say, Professor Helsing," he shouted, "that you want to take Mina, tainted as she is with the devil's illness, right into the jaws of his death trap?"
"No, I shall not allow it."
He paused for a moment, unable to speak. "You have not seen that awful place," he whispered at last. "Have you felt the vampire's lips upon your throat? What have we done to deserve such terror?" My poor husband collapsed on the sofa, but the professor calmed us all. "Oh, my friend," he said gently, "it is because I want to save your wife that we are going to that terrible place. If the Count escapes us this time, he may sleep in his castle for a century, and in time, dear Mina will become a vampire." He looked at my husband. "She would be like those other women you saw there, Jonathan. Do you remember them?" "Yes, I see you shudder as I speak."
Do what you must," my husband sobbed. "We are in the hands of God."
Later, I have said goodbye to my darling husband. We may never meet again. Courage, Mina. 2 November. Van Helsing hypnotized me this morning. He says that I answered, "Darkness, creaking wood and roaring water." So it seems that the river is going into the mountains. I hope that my darling husband is not in danger. 4 November. It is so cold. The gray, heavy sky is full of snow. And if it falls, it will stay all winter. I sleep most of the time. I have lost all my appetite. The professor has tried to hypnotize me, but he has had no effect. We are climbing higher and higher into the mountains. I remember the way from Jonathan's journal. I sleep less. 5 November. This has been a day of horror. We both felt nervous all day long. I was wide awake and could not eat anything. After dark, the professor was so afraid that he lit a fire and put a ring of wild roses and garlic around me. I was terrified and clung to his arm. The professor told me what happened next. "Even in the dark, I could see a faint white light in the distance," he said. "It hovered above the snow and seemed to take the shape of three women. I thought my imagination was playing tricks on me, that I was simply remembering what your dear husband described in his journal. Then the horses started to scream. The white figures came closer and formed a circle around you, dear Mina. But you sat quite calm, whispering, 'Is it safe here inside the circle?' The women now stood before us. 'Come, sister, come with us,' they whispered sweetly. I picked up a piece of blazing firewood and held up my crucifix until dawn. Those terrible figures melted away." I was horrified when the professor finished his story. "Let us go from this awful place," I cried. 6 November. We traveled all day until we saw the outline of Castle Dracula in the distance. There it sat, perched on the edge of a steep precipice, 1,000 feet on the top of a hill. We heard wolves howling across the snow. Below us lay the river. Suddenly, straight in front of us, we saw it, a cart carrying an enormous wooden box, rushing towards Castle Dracula. My heart leapt with joy. "It is nearly over," the professor whispered, "but it is getting dark. We must kill Count Dracula before he can take any shape he chooses and escape us forever." I looked through the eyeglass. "I can see the others," I called in excitement. "They're closing in on the cart. We must help them. But the snow began to whirl more thickly around us, blotting everyone from our sight. The wolves started to howl again, and I could see them gathering in groups of twos and threes. I took out my revolver. We waited. The wind came in fierce bursts, driving the snow over us. We could see nothing beyond us. Later, the wind changed direction and started to blow the snow away from us. Now we could see everybody, coming closer and closer. The professor and I moved forward at last and crouched down behind a rock, guns ready. Then I heard my husband's voice.
Stop!
He shouted. At the same time, Van Helsing and I stood up and pointed our weapons at the men on the cart. Seeing that they were surrounded, they stopped the horses and formed a circle. Jonathan reached the circle first and forced his way through.
Hurry, hurry, I whispered. The sun's setting.
Jonathan jumped onto the cart. I held my breath, hardly daring to watch. With the strength I did not know he possessed, my dear husband pushed the great box onto the ground. Then he jumped from the cart and desperately attacked the box with his knife. Suddenly, the lid of the box flew open. I leaned forward and stared down into the box. Count Dracula was lying there, deathly pale like a wax figure. His red eyes glared with the evil look I knew so well. As he looked at the setting sun, that look turned to one of triumph. Suddenly, I saw the flash of Jonathan's great knife as he raised it high and plunged it into the Count's body. It was a miracle. As we watched, Count Dracula crumbled into dust and disappeared forever from our sight. But in his last moment, I was glad to see a look of peace on his face.